Let's begin with prayer. Whoa, it's a little hot. Dear Father, we thank you for this chance we have to look into your word and discuss how we seek after your will. We thank you also for this chance that we will have to have a discussion about something very important to the future of this church. Lord, we pray that we would glorify you in what is done here today. Please just give us sharp and open minds and open hearts to receive what you would have us to receive. Please also give us wisdom to discard the things that are not of you in this time. Lord, I pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So originally what I'm presenting to you today was about an hour-long devotional study aimed at college-age students that I made when I was in fact also in college. But I think that it's appropriate that we look at this now. When Trevor told me what we were doing today, and he said to prepare something for between 5 and 8 minutes, and if you hear a beep, that's my 8-minute timer, by the way. I thought, okay, I know exactly what I want to do because I have this, and you'll see it on one side of your sheets, this setup of 9 questions to ask when seeking God's will. And as I said, originally this was designed for people to look at on a personal and individual level, but I think it can be helpful in this time to set the table. I realize there's a pun involved in that with today, but to set the table for the discussion that we will have following this. If you want, I will be touching on a couple of scripture passages, but I do have more that if you want to look in your own time about some tricky passages in the Bible discussing searching for God's will, I can pass those along to you as well. So the first one, and it's not exactly wild and crazy, right? The first one is, have you prayed about it? So when you're faced with a decision, as we're faced with a decision at this time in deciding whether to go forward with this letter of intent or whether to look at a different option, the first thing is simple. Have you spent time seeking God about it? Steve is downstairs, but he teased me when he wanted to see what scripture passages I had prepared that I'd be using Habakkuk, because I tend to fall back to Habakkuk a lot. And I'm not going to be speaking from Habakkuk, but one thing that he did very well when he had a question about God's plan and God's will is that he waited on God to give him an answer. And that's time spent in prayer. So first and foremost, the thing that we need to ask ourselves when we're looking at this decision is, have we prayed? Have we prayed about it? And on Thursday nights, people are praying about this. So we can feel good that we're on track, at least for number one here. The second thing, and Steve alluded to this already as well, is what does the Bible say about it? Now, the Bible may not tell you whether to buy a Ford or a Toyota when you're buying your next car. It may not tell you the what's about how you should live all the time, you know, whether you should choose this profession, whether you should retire at this age, whether you should invest in this or that. But what the Bible tells you is how you should live and the guiding principles under which you should live. And as we search and learn the scriptures, we can find that most of God's will for our lives are contained in there, because sometimes God's will involves circumstances that we could never possibly guess. So let's think of Joseph, for example. Joseph knew that God's will for his life from his prophetic dreams was to somehow be a ruler over his family and over other people's. Now, do you think Joseph somehow guessed that being sold into slavery, being accused of rape and thrown in prison, and being forgotten about in that prison was part of God's design? Yet at the very end, when he was able to look at the tracks and see where everything went, he was able to say to his brothers, "What you did to me, you meant for evil, but God meant it for good, because that was God's will." But what Joseph did do was he lived the how. He lived a life to glorify God and follow God's will despite all of those circumstances, which were not easy circumstances for her. And so as we do the searching, we may find circumstances that are good or bad, and as we seek to do God's will, we need to ask the question, are we doing what's biblical? Are we following biblical principles, motives? And so that's why that's the second question. Now, not all of these questions are as important as others, and I've tried to put them in a certain order, but you can see that sometimes some will override others. There's also a passage in the book of Numbers, if you would like to turn to Numbers chapter 9, starting at verse 6, that illustrates a couple of these points. This is actually a passage that just stood out to me. I'm sorry, Numbers chapter 9, verse 6. My mistake. That stood out to me recently as I began reading through the Bible again from Genesis on a reading plan. And this is, there's a strange little passage because there's these men that come to Moses, and they're coming to Moses because they're looking for God's will in a tricky circumstance, in a situation that they don't necessarily understand. So here's what they do. Starting at verse 9, or sorry, verse 6. And there were certain men who were unclean through touching a dead body, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron on that day. So it was a very serious thing, because they said, wait a second, we're told that we have to keep the Passover, because if we don't, we're out. That's how serious it was. But the reality of it was that they were also unclean. They were not supposed to be a part of the assembly of the Israelites on that day. So they came to Moses and they said, we've looked through the law, we've looked at what the Bible says, what Bible they had, and they said, it says nothing about what we're supposed to do in this situation. What are we supposed to do? So they've looked at what the Bible said about it. Well, what did they do? They went to their authority, and they also went to somebody who is wise and somebody they trusted. So here's what here's the response, sorry. And Moses said to them in verse 8, wait that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, if any one of you or of your descendants is unclean through touching a dead body or is on a long journey, he shall keep the Passover to the Lord. Whoop. Already? I guess so. We're going to have to fly. Okay. But and if we read on, it says, we'll keep the Passover the next month. See, sometimes it's not always abundantly clear, so we need to fall back on other principles, and I believe these principles are also biblical, in order to answer some of those questions that are not clear and available. So these men had a question that was not answerable with the extent of the Bible they had. So they had to seek God. So there was prayer, there was waiting, there was seeking an authority, there was seeking someone wise, and there was searching the scriptures, all involved in this little tiny passage of people searching after God's will. The third one I put down, who is being glorified, that refers to 1 John chapter 4 when it talks about testing the spirits, but it also speaks a lot to motivations, and motivations can be very important if you're looking for God's will and trying to decide whether it's your will or God's will. So if it's for the glory of God, chances are it's in God's will for your life. And if it's not, you know, he'll steer you. He'll correct you. That's okay. If it's for your own glory or someone else's glory, chances are it's not a right turn. How does it fit with your gifts, talents, and skills? So God has given you spiritual gifts. You've developed talents and skills from the person God created you to be. And generally, though not always, God's will involves you fitting in to that role that he created you for. Is it moral, ethical, legal, or contractual? So these are important questions. And you might say, well, doesn't that just say, is it biblical? Yeah, that's true. but it's maybe good to separate those things out. And when I say contractual, I also mean, is it socially acceptable? Not that we always need to fit into our social surroundings because we're called to be countercultural, but Paul says, do what you can to get along with everybody because it speaks to your testimony where it's appropriate. Because obviously, if the laws or the social contract or whatever breaches the scriptures, breaches God's moral law for you, that's the higher standard that you need to follow. What do those who are wise, those who care about you, and those who you trust say about it? There's wisdom in many counselors. That's from the Proverbs. Does it submit to the proper authority? So obviously the highest authority is God, but we're also supposed to pay taxes. The Bible says that too. So the principle there is, are we, where appropriate, obeying those who we need to obey? Finally, we get to the last two, and they are probably a little more shocking than some of the other things that I've written down. Some of these you probably could have I shouldn't say probably, I'm sure you definitely would have figured them out if you sat down and brainstormed them on your own. What do you want? What do you want? Sometimes God leaves it open. I gave the example of choosing a car, and chances are God doesn't have a specific agenda for which brand of car you drive. That God will leave that one up to you. And so, if you've answered all these things and you still have a question, maybe it's just, what do you want? And the final one, a little bit controversial, but I'll explain to you what it is. Have you flipped a coin? So here's what I do. If I'm in a restaurant and I can't decide whether I want meal A or B, I'll flip a coin and say heads for A, tails for B. If I'm disappointed in the result, I know what I actually wanted. So it's a good way of telling me what I wanted. If not, it's just a good way of making a quick decision and not agonizing over it. Right? Here's where it gets biblical. The apostles casted lots for a disciple to replace Judas. And I was always taught growing up, oh, that was a bad thing that they did. But you know what? I can't find in the scripture where it says that was a bad thing. And so, if it's really down to it and you really can't decide, maybe just flipping a coin is a practical and biblical answer. Also, in the Old Testament, we find the use of what's called the Urim and the Thummim. And that's something that was on the high priest's breastplate. And so a king, King Saul did this, David did this, several kings and judges would go to the high priest and they would give the Urim and the Thummim and make decisions based on that. Now we don't know exactly how it worked. We know there was a dark stone and a light stone and somehow decisions were made in that process. For some reason, God has kind of given us that as a last resort in seeking his will. But obviously, I think we need to prioritize what we can figure out as it is. And I think also maybe a little more investigation into this principle is necessary for us to kind of think and say, what exactly is God doing with these instructions that he's given to people to cast lots? Or I use the modern equivalent, flip a coin. But obviously, you know, you don't want to flip a coin when there is a clear biblical principle. But if it comes down to it, and that's the last thing you gotta do, let's flip a coin and see what happens. So that's 9 questions to ask yourself when seeking God's will. Gary's gonna come up and lead the roundtable discussion at this time, and you'll find the questions for that on the other side of your sheet. So you can flip that over now.